VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us today on Crosstalk. Ladies and gentlemen, today you're going to be hearing the shocking story of a Christian boarding school in Northern California. It's a school that was raided by 16 armed officers, two canine units, and 17 social workers bearing a search warrant with kick-down orders. Well, our guest today has called this case the most chilling case in 22 years that they had never seen before, such a level of aggressive, militant, and ideological-driven conduct by a state agency against a religious institution. So what precipitated such an event? We hope you'll stay with us today as we introduce our special guest, Brad Dacus. Brad is the president and founder of the Pacific Justice Institute. Their mission is to defend without charge the religious freedoms, parental rights, and other civil liberties of people who cannot defend themselves. Brad, good to have you back with us here on Crosstalk.
Always a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Brad, this is such an alarming story. It involves the Riverview Christian Academy in Northern California. You call this a Waco-style raid. I'd like you to start at square one and tell us about this school first, and then what precipitated such a raid.
Yeah, this school is a well-established Christian boarding school. It's helped and served countless numbers of kids that have gone through their program and their education program, and it's in an area outside of Redding in a very nice forested, very beautiful place, and it's had a great impact on kids, solid reputation for years. And then what happened was outrageous. To give a little bit of backdrop of where this precipitated, what was taking place, the BuzzFeed, about 10 years ago, this sort of left-wing tabloid, came out with this article attacking this Christian boarding school. They didn't have any eyewitnesses. They didn't investigate. They didn't go out there and talk to anyone. Well, anyway, as it turns out, fast forward, the state of California Department of Social Services, they have their agenda. They are very, very liberal. There's a high animosity towards Christian education and instruction. They goes against what they would love to be taught with regards to the LGBTQ movement and ideology. So in 2018, a law was pushed by the LGBTQ movement to put greater pressure on boarding schools, Christian boarding schools, and so that if there's any alleged counseling in any capacity, in any way, it can't just be licensed with the Department of Education. It has to also be licensed with the Department of Social Services.
Mm.
Now, here's the rub here. Anything licensed to the Department of Social Services has to allow children not only at that school to engage in full spiritual exploration, you know, witchcraft, whatever, but also it has to allow the kids to engage sexually with kids from the opposite sex or the same sex as they wish. Now, this is a private Christian boarding school. They don't get any money from any government agency. They're funded by parents. Parents choose the school for their kids, and if they get their way, this agency, these kids and this school would effectively be shut down because they would have to no longer be a Christian boarding school, which is exactly the clear agenda. So then they decided to do this raid, and they showed this article, 10-year-old article from BuzzFeed. They finally got a judge willing to sign off on the raid, which I thought was incredible, egregious, incredible. And they went and raided the place with 16 CHP officers, just like a SWAT kind of an operation, with two canine units, and then more than a dozen social workers to investigate, interrogate every child, staffer, employee, and look in every dresser, every drawer, under every bed to try to find drugs, weapons, something to nail the school, and they found nothing.
They actually had kick-down orders.
Yes. Yes, to kick down any door and every door at the place. And they were trying to find something to nail this school with to justify shutting them down. And the whole motivation, the whole drive, as I mentioned earlier, because I think it's important people understand this, is the fact that the LGBTQ, who dominate and control the state agency, Department of Social Services, they have it as their resolve to eliminate and remove any Christian biblical worldview instruction from any educational institution. They're already, of course, have done that in public schools. That's a whole other subject. But now they want to basically shut down, starting with the boarding schools. And eventually, we think they're going to carry that over to other private schools as well.
Brad Dacus with us here today, folks. An outrageous incident that's taken place. And again, all due to a 10-year-old liberal internet tabloid hit piece on this school. They go in. I mean, I don't know what kind of a judge would even give such a search warrant based upon this 10-year-old article, and then to give them kickdown authority to go in there, but turn everything virtually upside down to look for drugs, guns, whatever it may be. And I just want you to confirm, Brad, what you said. They found nothing.
They found nothing. Absolutely nothing. And yet you'd think it would have stopped there with an apology, right? You'd think.
Yeah.
With an extreme apology. But no, it gets worse. You know, they decided to double down because their resolve is they really want to shut down this and all Christian boarding schools in the state of California. So they said, unless you actually become get your approval and licensing to the Department of Social Services as a rehab center, then we're going to shut you down. And they've already started fining them $200 a day in violation. And what they justified it with, they tried to justify it this way: there's no counseling taking place. Okay, there's no licensed counselors, no therapy. But here's what they said: We discovered that there are some students there, kids, whose parents want the kids to get counseling. So because you provide transportation for the child to and from the counselor, these are kids often that can't drive anyway, okay, but they want to make sure they stay in touch with these kids. They don't just let them leave anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So because you provide transportation to and from the counselor that the parents arrange, that the parents pay for, the parents request, because you provide that transportation, you are now a rehab center.
Oh my!
Under the Department of Social Services, under all our regulations, including the requirement to give up your faith, in essence, and allow kids to sexually explore, engage in all kinds of sexuality and sexual relations.
What an abuse of the law!
Yeah, grotesque abuse of the law. I agree 100%. And so they've decided to do this. They start administrative procedures to basically shut down the school. We at Pacific Justice Institute were called, and as many people there in your listening audience know, we at Pacific Justice Institute, we're a nonprofit legal organization. We provide free representation defending religious freedom, parents' rights, the sanctity of human life, all across the country, all without charge. And we're very unique in that we don't just take on high-profile cases. We work hard to make sure everyone gets help.
Mm-hmm.
So we were called about this. You know, we moved on it very quickly. We went into court, filed for a temporary restraining order, injunctive relief, and the court held off and said, but there's still administrative review taking place. We're not going to move on it. But our class action lawsuit was also filed on behalf of all the parents who see this as an affront to their fundamental rights over the education and upbringing of their children that has already been respected by prior case law in the Supreme Court for more than one case in the prior century.
We're going to review some of the things you've talked about here, Brad. And folks, be ready to jot down a website as well for our guest today. It's important for you to be informed and engaged. Brad, you mentioned in a letter that you wrote concerning this that students and faculty members were terrorized by state officials with interrogations. Tell us about the interrogations.
Oh, this was unthinkable what they did. Unforgivable. What they decided to do is they engaged in with young children, very personal, almost creating thoughts in the minds of these kids that didn't need to be there. They talked to them about, has anyone ever, touched you in, your personal area, this area here? Has they ever touched you in that personal area? Have they ever, done this? Have they ever done that? Have you ever thought this? Have you ever thought that? very, very intrusive, but also planting ideas and thoughts into the minds of young children that may never even thought of such sexual activities and conduct. And that's what's, it's a stranger coming in there. It's obviously they're invading the place.
And it's like a mental raping.
It's a mental raping, exactly. A mental raping that took place on these young children and also their teenagers there. And then, so just what took place with the kids was very traumatic. It was, just unthinkable, very cold-hearted, because anyone that has any heart of compassion for these kids and those in this Christian boarding school would not have conducted themselves the way they did. But their goal was one goal, and their agenda is one agenda, and that was to find any kind of pretext to shut down this school because that is their end resolve. And there's already another Christian boarding school. I can't mention their name now on radio, but they're also under fire and started investigation to be shut down as well in the state of California.
Hi. Folks, the importance of this case here. And, Brad, is it true that they also searched the personal family records of the students?
Yes. There are personal family records on file at the school. And no one has access to those records because they're personal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they went into everything personal about every child, their family, violating the privacy of the family, the moms, the dads, the family, what the kid has gone through. And that is unthinkable, too, because we're talking here about very personal information that some strangers are now having access to that is unwarranted, completely unwarranted and unjustifiable. But that is exactly what the government did, what the state of California did.
I also find it interesting as the state is wanting to press them not as being a boarding school, but to treat them as an unlicensed group home or some community care facility. I mean, this is not just a house we're talking about. This is not just like a group home. We're talking about a 250-acre campus?
Yes, yes. Oh, it's a fantastic educational facility. It's a boarding school, so there's a place for kids, for just sleeping and eating, and but the educational institution is absolutely fantastic. The hands-on education that they provide these kids, very working with the kids in a very a solid way and a very personal way to make sure that they thrive educationally and academically, and give them experiences. So it's an absolutely excellent institution, and the fact they're trying to treat it like a group home is totally unjustifiable and is outrageous.
Brad Dacus is our guest here today on Crosstalk. He is president and founder of the Pacific Justice Institute, and they are representing, without cost, this Christian school. And, friends, help is going to be needed with that. We'll give you their website after the break. But, I mean, just imagine this Christian boarding school, and to be raided by 16 armed officers and 2 canine units and a plethora of social workers coming in with a search warrant with kickdown orders. We'll be back in just a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, if sedimentary rock is made up of sediments deposited by Noah's flood, where did the sediments come from?
Chris, it appears that before the flood, calcareous ooze made of tiny marine animals and secretions accumulated on the ocean bottom. Scooped up by the flood, they became today's limestone deposits. It also appears that the sandstone deposits came from created granitic rock, which eroded to yield the sand that are modern-day sandstones. Also, during the flood, intense volcanism occurred as the fountains of the Great Deep broke open, depositing huge quantities of volcanic ash. This became intermingled with other flood sediments to form a variety of rock types. Chris, I think the flood of Noah's day is a very important concept which we must understand if we ever hope to understand the world around us. Let's develop a Back to Genesis way of thinking.
Thanks for tuning in to Back to Genesis.
Stand by. Christian school rated by authorities. Folks, can you understand the gravity of what is taking place here? And what's going on in California today is going to be happening in your state tomorrow. Well, representing this school is Brad Dacus, president and founder of the Pacific Justice Institute that defends without charge religious freedoms and parental rights and civil liberties of people who otherwise would not be able to defend themselves. And Brad, as long as this has been going on, and there's more to come, and we've got more to tell in the story here, there's a tab that's running on this at the same time.
Yeah, it is outrageous. They're being charged, $200 every day that they don't submit to becoming effectively a secular school with total sexual activities being allowed. Totally divergent from what any reasonable parent would want for their kids.
Yeah. And I understand that the legal fight itself is one that is not inexpensive to fight this battle.
No, we at Pacific Justice Institute, people need to understand, we are taking on the Department of Justice for the state of California, the Attorney General's office. Mm. They have the full backing of all the state attorneys. And the State Department of all the attorneys pounding down on this wonderful Christian boarding school. We at Pacific Justice, with our attorneys, we're fighting them, and it's a very intensive, drawn out battle. But we're putting our full resources into this to make sure that this school gets the representation. To make sure the school isn't shut down. What's taken place, we fought our lawsuit. It's ongoing in litigation, class action for the parents. Well, what's happened since then is the Department of Social Services there for California has decided to countersue. They have filed a lawsuit trying to actually shut down the school for this fall. And the hearing is coming up. It's August 29th. I encourage people to be praying this school and our attorneys at a very pivotal hearing that's taking place. But their goal is to shut them down and they don't care about the impact on these kids, their lives, and the survival of an institution that has been a huge blessing to so many. They just want to shut them down. That just shows the intensity of the hatred, the resolve of those who are backing this movement. To shut down not just this Christian boarding school, but other Christian boarding schools and other Christian private schools that do not change their Christian biblical worldview upon issues as related to the LGBTQ radical movement.
Folks, the website is pacificjustice.org, pacificjustice.org. You can even read more about this particular case, pacificjustice.org. But now we have the state actually trying to close the school. That hearing is coming up just a week away, August 29th, and friends, would you be praying about this hearing coming up on August 29th? I think it's also important to point out, Brad, that this is not just some new startup. I mean, this is a ministry that's been around for a quarter of a century.
Oh, yes, and it's so established. Before this even took place, I knew one of the directors there at this school, they have a high reputation. They have an excellent track record. They're recommended on a very wide scale basis, particularly from here on the West Coast. And if you look at it, it's a very beautiful, well established, campus, and it would be a real tragedy to see them shut down. And we at Pacific Justice Institute are doing everything in our effort, by God's grace, to see this all the way through. This case may very well, in fact, I think will likely possibly go up on appeal, maybe even up to the Supreme Court of the United States after everything is all said and done, because the legal issue is so important here. That is whether or not the government can come in pretextually and shut down a private Christian institution and force them to, in the alternative, to let children engage in sexual activities that goes totally against the Christian biblical teachings and worldview.
They would actually force this upon the school to be accepting of this, and even to have staff members who would be trained in the whole LGBT indoctrination.
Yes, and this would be a complete and total violation of the wishes of parents and what they feel is best for their children. The state, they have their boarding schools. The state does. Their boarding schools are a nightmare. They have a horrific track record. They have a failure rate as far as working with these kids. And that's what they do. They push and they encourage this kind of sexual activity on a massive scale in the state of California state schools, institutions. And yet they want to shut down the Christian boarding school so that there's no place else in California for any parent to be able to have their children who's going through issues or academic issues, social issues, whatever, to be able to get the kind of training that parents feel is best for their kids, the kind of biblical Christian training that is best for their kids. And they're not going to stop there. They need people to understand they will take this into the private Christian schools as well.
Mm-hmm.
That is their resolve, to shut down any institution, to silence any institution that does not bow the knee to their movement and their agenda and their worldview.
And folks, what happens in California will spread across this nation like wildfire. Brad, I find it interesting as well, and I was looking at an article in the Christian Post, and they were reporting that not only are they suing the Riverview Christian Academy, they're also personally suing the CEO of the school, Phil Ludwig.
Yes, and I know Phil. He's a great, great guy, great heart, loves the Lord, and they have a wonderful, he has a great reputation, but they're doing everything they can to put as much pressure as they possibly can so that these institutions, the people running this institution will just fold their cards and say, okay, we're not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very unconventional for them to go after him personally, because there's nothing that he has done personally to justify any action against him personally. If they're going to bring an action, it should be against the school. Of course, they need to have justification for that too, but they don't. So this is an intimidation, a bullying tactic, and they have all their guns, all their legal resources pointed at this school in every effort they can to shut them down in very hardcore bullying legal maneuvers and tactics. And we at Pacific Justice Institute understand it. We know it. We knew it when we took on the case, what we'd be dealing with. And we went to bat for this school. No one else would. And that's why we are doing what we're doing to make sure they get this legal protection.
PacificJustice.org is a website for our guest today, PacificJustice.org. Brad, I wonder if you could address some of the claims that are coming out from some of the former students. Some of the media have been picking up on these, saying, hey, some of these children have been placed on food restrictions for misbehaving and using punishment by withholding food or proper nourishment from them.
Not true. It's simply not true. But these are the kinds of things that they're trying to come up with. They're trying to state, this school, this boarding school, actually has kids eating very healthy. They're very conscious about health. They're conscious about making sure kids don't get too much sugar because that's not good for kids mentally, emotionally. They're very conscious. These kids are healthy. They are well taken care of. The kids are have an exercise program as a part of the boarding school, so that they're getting good nutrition as well as physical exercise. These are just unfortunate allegations, assertions made. And see, here's the problem: once they make an assertion, then the presumption is, oh well, gosh, there must be some truth to it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem here.
Yeah, and then another media picks it up, and another quotes the first media, and on it goes.
Yeah, like they had this assertion that there are weapons and guns and grenades. Well, there must be some, maybe. No, not true. So it's this kind of activities that they're using, bullying tactics, and we're convinced that This school has an excellent record. The kids have given great reports. In fact, I think the social workers were disappointed that they didn't get, you know, what they were looking for. They didn't get, you know, a kid being beaten. They didn't get some kind of a water torture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
It just wasn't there. Yet they treated this like it was a Waco institution without doing the kind of professional procedures beforehand, before traumatizing all these kids and really doing their homework, and at the children's expense, at this institution's expense. And of course, we know what their agenda is, because that is seen very clearly now as they continue their resolve to just simply shut them down, to halt a Christian biblical worldview, and allow sexual lifestyles to be engaged in and to be dominant at the school.
A direct attack on First Amendment religious rights, but it's also a direct attack on parental rights, isn't it?
Oh, yes, because once again, this school is independent from the government. They're not receiving any grants or government money. I mean, whenever the government gives money, they can often tag on restrictions and qualifications. But they receive no money from the government. It's all from parents. And who's the best person to check out a school and make sure the school is doing its job? Is it the government?
No,
it's parents. Private schools are that way. Why are private schools so successful? There's a number of reasons. But one is because parents are paying for it. Parents are therefore engaged in it, making sure that they're doing their job, that things are happening right, and that school is being held accountable. And that's exactly the situation here. These parents want this school. They want their kids in the school. They're paying for their children to be in the school. And the fact that they're possibly going to have it shut down by people who do not know what the school is about and who just simply have an agenda is really outrageous. But people understand this, though, is because this is a very broad case on parental rights. We're talking about defending, in our lawsuit, we're defending the rights, the fundamental rights of parents to be able to make the decision as to what's best for their children's education and upbringing. If the government is allowed to come in and trounce on those rights and say, no, we know what's best, we can take any child in any school, we can shut it down, we can shut down schools with this biblical worldview and put their kids and have kids ordered to be an alternative school with our state worldview, that is trouncing on the rights of parents, and it's very similar to what we saw in the former Soviet Union. It's what we see in other totalitarian countries.
Brett Dickus is with us today. Folks, an unbelievable story, but sadly it's true, and it's going on in California right now as a state attempts to take control over Christian education. The website pacificjustice.org. We're opening our phone lines. I'd like to get your reaction to this today. Our number is 800-733-9829. 1-800-733-9829. Maybe you've got a question. Maybe you've got a comment on this issue. In my book, this is just totally outrageous. This move that the state has made to come in and raid, in a Waco-style raid, this Christian school. Folks, we'll be back in a minute. Our number again to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
The Bible follows the rise and fall of kingdoms and governments, covers millennia of ancient history, and reveals God's plan for humanity through powerful accounts that still speak to us today. In the hardcover book, Charting the Bible Chronologically, authors Tommy Ice and Ed Heinzen have teamed up to provide readers a panoramic view of the events recorded in Scripture, all laid out in chronological order. This book takes you from the words "in the beginning" all the way to the New Jerusalem. With 40-plus full-color charts, you will see timelines of biblical history, pre-flood genealogy, Israel, the life of Christ, and a master fold-out chart of the entire Bible. This is a vital resource for new believers and Bible scholars alike, providing a visual guide to God's unfolding plan. Charting the Bible Chronologically is available for a donation of $25 or more to VCY. Call 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Brad Dacus is our guest today. And folks, it's outrageous what's taking place. Christian school raided by authorities. As we mentioned at the outset of the program, I mean, we're talking some 16 armed officers, a couple of canine units, social workers coming into the school with kickdown orders. And not only searching high and low for the drugs and guns, of which it turns up nothing, but also at the same time, we're finding the interrogations and, as I call it, the mental raping of these young minds taking place. And here it's gone virtually unchecked by the state. And instead of backing down, they are basically saying they're taking it to the next level, now filing suit to actually shut this school down. And this is not the only one, Brad. There's others in their crosshairs. And once their success at one level, it's going to jump to the next and the next and the next and then spread across this country. That's why this case is so important.
You're absolutely right. I can't stress that enough. If we're not successful in defending this school, they will be every Christian boarding school in California will be shut down, because Christian boarding schools are not going to allow their young people to engage in sexual activities, same sex, opposite sex. They're just not going to allow it, much less spiritual exploration in terms of outside religious groups and things coming in. They're not going to allow it. It's a Christian boarding school. It's effectively going to shut down every single one of them. And then, and this movement, people need to understand, it's not just in California. What we see, the things are established here, and then they're modeled and they're copied. Like the prohibition against counseling for kids under 18 struggling with same-sex attraction, that became law in California, and it spread to other states. It's spreading to other states. We at Pacific Justice have challenged it once. We're going to be challenging it again. But that's why it's so critical. That's why I tell people, you know, we're on the California on the left coast is literally the what I call the beaches of Normandy in the battle for religious freedom and parents' rights. It is the modern-day beaches of Normandy, and that is why people need to be aware, because if these beaches fall, they'll be landing on the sands of other states as well.
Let's begin with Richard calling from Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Richard, you're on the air.
Oh, thank you, Jim. Thank you, Brad. Wow. I mean, the subjects are getting just more ridiculous all the time, aren't they? What I can't understand is how the parents, and how there's not enough people to believe the parents and that are sending their kids to these boarding schools, and then the children themselves. I mean, they have no evidence that they are doing anything but teaching them the difference between what is right and wrong. Aren't there anybody in California besides Pacific Justice League and Liberty Council that can stand up for these folks?
Yeah, well, we at Pacific Justice Institute are particularly strong here on the West Coast. We have five offices in California alone. We have another one in Oregon. We have another one in Seattle, Washington, just opening one in two other states as well. But we're the ones that handle the overwhelming majority of this work here in California. And the reason is because this is, the modern-day beaches of Normandy when it comes to these kind of struggles. So we have attorneys. We have six full-time attorneys and seven full-time attorneys. And that's why we're engaged in these battles.
Richard, Pacific Justice is on top of the issue. I mean, they are there and they're fighting tooth and nail for this Christian school, and not just this one, but others as well. And they've got their team. They've got in place. Certainly they need support, and that includes both prayer support as well as financial support as they fight this on behalf of young people and families and religious rights for California, which really impacts the entire nation here, Brad.
Yeah, it really does, and I want to thank him for that question, because you know, we at Pacific Justice, you know, we work cooperatively with other organizations, and they do great work, wonderful work, and but we have a clear resolve to nip it at the bud. Oftentimes, and that's often what we see here on the West Coast. We have, you know, we have assaults taking place in the public schools. We have opt-out forms for all 50 states, but California is the worst. What's been going on there.
Yeah.
We now have social workers, we have a whole other discussion on this, taking children because the children want to change their gender, and the Christian family says no. Government says, oh, no, we're going to take the kid, and so the kid can change their gender. this stuff, if we don't stop it here, it's going to spreading to other states, and that's why it's so important that we take this seriously. And I want to thank those who do go to our website, sign up to get these legal updates, because we need them to be aware so they can at the very least be praying. If they want to support us financially, that's awesome. But prayer support is extremely important. We never forget that this is a spiritual battle first.
Yeah.
And we understand that fully as we take on these cases.
Thank you, Richard, for the call. Let's go next to Ed calling in from Spencer. Ed, you're on the air.
Yes, hello. I was wondering, are the state and federal representatives, are they helping you to defend the school?
Any legislative support here, yes. Brett?
Well, it's a very good question. I'm glad you asked it. On the state legislative side, it's actually in the other direction. The radical LGBTQ movement, they dominate the legislature, both the state assembly and the state senate and the governorship in the state of California. They're basically getting everything they're asking for in terms of the legislation to support their policies and agenda. So we have no support there at all. They have a supermajority, actually, in the state of California. And so we don't have any support there. As far as on a federal level, we would love to see legislative reform to give greater protection. We already, we have some Religious Freedom Restoration Act, but there's some from the opposite agenda trying to get that repealed. And if they get control of the House and the Senate in this next election, and maybe even the president in the next presidency in the next election, we could see something like this attempted on a national scale as well. And that's so I'm really glad you brought that up.
Thank you, Ed. Charlie is calling from Lodi. Hi, Charlie, you're on the air.
Hello, thank you for taking my call. I'm deeply saddened and hurt by this news. But I was just wondering, because they don't go into mosques or harass the Muslims this way, there's certainly an avenue to prove that this is blatant discrimination. I'll hang up now and listen to the comments. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, that's a really good observation that he made, and many people don't make that observation, but we need to understand the spiritual nature of the battle. He's right. Muslim schools, Muslim boarding schools, that's hands-off.
Mm.
We don't see this kind of treatment. In fact, even though those schools are actually even oftentimes deemed as, or viewed as more hardcore against the LGBTQ agenda in terms of what they teach religiously from the Quran and how people from that group should be treated. We don't see the same attacks on them. They, I think, are seen as a political ally in the big scheme, as we've seen on a national level recently take place from some in Congress. So I think that understanding that, making that observation important, understanding the spiritual warfare nature against Christianity in particular and those teaching and living and practicing the Christian life.
Thank you for the call. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Gerald in Ashtabula, Ohio, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. Sir?
Yes?
Have you reported this to President Donald Trump? This is a direct violation of Constitution right and parents' right and everything.
Indeed.
Have you reported this to President Trump directly?
We make an effort. I'm glad you mentioned that. We make an effort to notify the federal United States Department of Justice regarding these measures that we feel that under their present leadership, under President Trump, might be interested in stepping in and getting involved in. We're hopeful that this case, along with other cases we take them on in the future with this administration, we will have them intervening and actively engaged in this kind of litigation. That's something that we're trying to take advantage of because of who is now in control of the executive branch and the U.S. Department of Justice. That is actually a viable possibility. We may actually see that happen. In the prior years, needless to say, that was not a viable option even really to be explored. Now we have the kind of leadership of the Department of Justice that I believe is in fact a real possibility. It's something that we are exploring and attempting to achieve.
Thank you for that, Gerald. And Brad, that just brings to mind that we are 15 months away from the next national election. And it seems every election we say this is more important than anyone we've ever had before. The stakes are just seeming to be so high across this nation.
Yeah, I think people need to understand that from just a legal justice perspective. Like, for example, we are seeing a massive transformation in our courts.
Yes.
At the federal district court level, the circuit court level, the Supreme Court level, in a radical historical way, in a very good way, a revolutionary way, that's going to be friendly to the Constitution, the original intent of the Constitution, religious freedom, parental rights, even the sanctity of human life, for that matter. I see a very solid, responsible, major shift of historic proportions in our federal courts. But in addition, as I alluded to earlier, just the change in the U.S. Department of Justice has been 180. 3 years ago, we'd be concerned about the U.S. Department of Justice coming in
and joining the suit.
Joining the suit,
yeah.
to shut down this and all the Christian boarding schools in the country.
Mm-hmm.
That was their agenda. They were very radical in the other direction. The state of California is even more radical. But now that we have a U.S. Department of Justice that respects the Constitution, that's a major help, and we think it's going to be down the road if. They maintain their position, and of course it's up to the people at the end of the day to make that decision on election day every 2 and 4 years.
Back to the phone lines. Our lines are packed here. We've got Mike next. Hi, Mike. You're on the air.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. I have a couple of questions. First of all, wasn't there a Supreme Court decision which stated that the parent must always be presumed to be acting in the best interest of the child? Additionally, if that's true, then isn't this gross overreach by social service agencies generally and LGBTQ specifically, particularly toward parental rights?
Okay.
And I'll take your comments up on the radio. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there court precedent for best interest of the child, and therefore are we violating that?
Yeah, there is the general rule, and that's true. Courts are to presume that parents are acting in the best interest of the child, and that's the underlying presumption. That's the general rule of law. However, if the government, and this is what the law is as it's applied in all 50 states, if the government can show a reasonable suspicion of abuse or neglect, that is all they need to come in, generally speaking, and take the children from the parents or from a Christian boarding school, and that's the real issue here. They came in, they didn't find anything. They were hoping they could use that as a justification. Now they're trying to use a state statutory mandate, and it's very tyrannical.
PacificJustice.org is a website. We're going to take a quick break and be back with more of your calls here on Crosstalk. PacificJustice.org, and also be ready. We'll be giving you their phone number as well if you don't have internet access to be able to be in connection with the Pacific Justice Institute. This is Crosstalk. We'll be right back. For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. My friends, Americans have been under a brainwashing operation for a long time, and not only are they following the philosophies of the Marxist from the Frankfurt School that came to America in 1933 from Germany, they're also following the ideas of an organization known as the Tavistock Institute. The Tavistock Institute did research on people who would go to war, who were POWs and who were interrogated. And what their research showed is that they could pit individuals against each other. And the goal was to pit people against each other and create stress, and to see if they could create so much stress and disunity that people would let go of their convictions. This philosophy and idea has been used on the American people at every level, education, media, and religion, to create stress, opposites colliding, and then for people to say, finally, I will let go of my convictions and join the liberal group consensus. Beware of this brainwashing. This is Crosstalk on VCY America. With us today is Brad Dacus, the president and founder of the Pacific Justice Institute. Their website, pacificjustice.org, pacificjustice.org. You don't have internet access. Their number is 916-857-6900. 916-857-6900. Now, Brad, you have mentioned as well that Pacific Justice Institute has a resource to be of special help to parents. Tell us about it.
Yeah, I already mentioned the opt-out forms that every parent should download from our website if they have children in any public school anywhere. Very important. But in addition to that, we have a wonderful, important resource for any parent of any with a child in the United States, and it's 12 steps to protect your children from social workers or Child Protective Services, CPS. So it has different names in different states. 12 steps to protect your children from CPS. And they can download that from our website. Click resources, under parents at the top, click resources, and they'll find it. They need to read it, understand it, because when social workers are knocking at the door, they're not going to have time usually to find out what they need to do and what their rights are. And if they let that social worker in, it could be game over. And we see thousands and thousands and thousands of children, most children, in fact, that are taken from social workers every year. The Department of Health and Human Services in a report said that should not actually be taken. That's how bad things are for children. They can also be stripped and examined, emotionally violated, touched and violated. We have a case like this out of Colorado. So parents need to know what their rights are. They need to protect their children, and they need to understand that. So they should go to our website and download. If you're maybe a grandparent, you don't have kids, do this for your children, for your grandchildren. Make sure that parents that you know have this. And we even want it distributed in churches across the country as well.
Again, folks, at pacificjustice.org. Click on resources at the top of the page, and there you'll see it for parents, 12 steps to protect your children from Child Protective Services, pacificjustice.org. We've got Delaney, who's been holding a long time here in Wisconsin. Delaney, you're on the air.
Okay, so I just want to put out a thing where I used to be on a soccer team, and there was this kid who always looked like very, very sad, and apparently he was, like, had a little bit of issues, but, you know, he was always very kind to everybody. And the coach, before every game, he would always pray. And the one lady that was sitting and watching the soccer game got the coach kicked off because he prayed before every game. And this kid that was always, like, he was very religious and everything, but eventually we were sitting and he told me that he used to go to this school and they taught him about the Lord and everything and all of that, but he said he didn't get to go there anymore, and I asked him why, and he said because it didn't go anymore, so he was like, got shut down. I didn't get to go there anymore.
Delaney, I wish we could hear the whole story here, but we can't, and so we're not sidetracked from our main topic today. But what you are underlying is that religious freedom is under attack, and that's the whole reason why Brad is doing what he is doing, is standing up for the religious freedom and First Amendment constitutional rights in attack against this school. So we know there are many other instances, and if there are things going on, Brad, I know people can call PJI as well, Pacific Justice Institute, and report what's going on.
Yeah, in fact, we have a book that he can download. It's a free book on our website. It's called Reclaim Your School, Steps to Practically and Legally Evangelize Public Schools.
Yeah.
So go to our website. You can find it under resources. You can download that. It's a book free of charge. And it's very empowering for people wanting to have a positive difference in public schools, and we help people like that coach all the time.
Thank you, Delaney. Iris and Delavan, you're on the air.
Oh, I am?
Please go ahead. We're short on time.
Okay. My name is Iris Peterson, and when I was what I was wondering, I heard what was going on with there, and I was wondering if there was any way they could be sued for what they've done to these children, or would that be too costly?
Yeah, it's very, the short answer is, at this point, probably not. It's not, a civil lawsuit would not be in the cards at this time. After litigation is over, after it's all done, we then assess the viability of a civil lawsuit and a civil action. You know, we have already filed a civil lawsuit on the rights of parents in a class action suit against the government for violating the rights of parents. So we have already done that. We're litigating that. As far as other subsequent civil lawsuits, tort actions and things like that, we'd have to look into that at a later date. We at Pacific Justice Institute, though, make no mistake, we're very aggressive, and we don't like to see bullies like the state of California get away with this. So we'll be definitely looking at all our options as this thing progresses.
Thank you, Iris. John in Berrigan, Michigan, you're on the air.
Hello, real quickly. Who ordered this? Was there any media coverage? My guess is no. And if you were a parent and you had children in your house, you couldn't behave like this with them, yet teachers and libraries can do anything, and I'll shut up because I know you're stressed for time. Thank you.
Thank you. Who ordered this, Brad?
The Department of Social Services got a court warrant from a judge to authorize them to come in and do what they did. And they did it royally. You know, like we said before, 16 CHP officers, you know, vested officers coming in with guns, and two canine units, you know, a plethora of social workers. They came in, guns blazing, and doors being kicked in, just the whole nine yards. Mm-hmm. It was, but that's who was behind this. And as far as, you know, like the libraries, the teachers getting away with this, that's public education. You're absolutely, there's outrageous things being thrust on our kids in the public schools. A lot of libraries allow children at any age to look at anything they want on the internet, in the library, and many states have total immunity from penal code being criminally prosecuted. So you're right, there's a lot going on, and we're dealing with the library issues as well. People can contact us, that's a whole other subject.
Friends, I wish we had more time, but we've run out, and we'd encourage you to go to pacificjustice.org. Again, click down the parental download from resources, 12 Steps to Protect Your Children. Also be praying for the August 29th hearing that is coming up before them. Brad, thanks for informing our listeners. Thanks for standing up for our religious rights.
Thank you. Appreciate the time.
Folks, thanks for joining us on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.